This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 19th, 2014, the 18th Sunday after Trinity, by Father Joe Roberts.
Jesus said, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. The question is, how do we interpret this? We're used, of course, to interpreting it in a familiar way. And indeed, this passage is, if people know anything about the Bible at all, they probably are able to quote you this short passage, which in a way is a shame, because quoted in isolation, it is very easy to misinterpret, to be misinterpreted, and indeed it is misinterpreted. The question that if the Pharisees were Republicans, I suppose you would call the Herodians the Democrats, although it's not a not appropriate to make a political comparison. If you wanted to know what they were asking Jesus, you have to look at this passage very clearly. And the question they asked is an important one for the Jews of our Lord's day. For the Romans imposed a poll tax, as it were, upon the nations under their rule. And at the time of Jesus, the attitude of the Jews toward Romans varied a great deal, and so did their attitude to this tax. You might expect those who opposed Roman rule to be opposed to the tax. This group is, of course, the Pharisees. And you might expect those who were in favor of Roman rule, the Herodians, to be in favor of the tax because the Romans kept them in power. And so it was. You have opposite people bringing this question to our Lord with the intention of trapping him. They're not asking an honest question, and they are trying to put Jesus into a box. A trap has been set for Jesus. If he agrees with the tax, he will be regarded as a collaborator with the Romans. If he disagrees with the tax, he will place himself in direct opposition to the Romans, and in either case, he will make enemies for himself. And so our Lord, in his infinite wisdom, avoids their trap and uses it to give all Christians and us an important lesson of how we are to live out our Christian faith in every age and in every place. The question of whether to pay the tax to Caesar, of course, was an important one to the Jews of our Lord's time. It is of little or no consequence for us. Who is Caesar? To us, he's a historical figure of limited interest. So whether we pay the tax to Caesar or not, it just isn't on our horizon. There's no indication in the biblical text that Jesus is using the name Caesar as representing civil authority. And thus, the popular interpretation of rendering to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God falls. This is not a question about the tax. Jesus is not instructing us whether to pay a tax or not. He's not even instructing us in the relationship between church and state. There are other passages in Scripture that give information on that, and there's a lengthy tradition in the church that gives us guidance. But I think that this passage is not one of those elements that guides us in the relationships between church and state. Jesus, as always, avoids a political stance, but rather focuses on the malice behind the question. St. Matthew's text leaves us in no doubt that those who ask the question are insincere. Beneath a guise of a sincere attempt to understand how to obey God's law lies the evil of those who seek to discredit Jesus and to ultimately to destroy him. So as we listen to this gospel, we will be mistaken if we think it's about paying a tax to Caesar. In this gospel, Jesus is asking us to reflect on our sincerity as we seek a Christian response to the challenges and problems in our lives today. Notice, it's not about paying tax to Caesar. It's not about rendering to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. This is a moot issue for us. It's about rendering to God what belongs to God. And that is the issue before us. The fathers often comment on this passage that the superscription and image of Caesar on the coin, on the denarius, is matched and balanced by the image of God imprinted on the coin of our souls. We have God's image and likeness stamped on our souls. And this is what the question is all about. Do we sincerely try to live in accordance with the demands of the gospel and the teachings of the church? Or are we just trying to find the minimum of what the church requires of us? I think I've mentioned before in homilies several times when I've been instructing people who have been away from the church, and they say, well, what must I do? What do I have to do? What's the least I can get away with? And I said, well, go to Mass every Sunday, which is usually greeted with the horrified exclamation, every Sunday? As though that's the end of the world as they know it. Are we just trying to find the way to do the minimum that the church requires of us? Or are we letting our faith shape the whole of our lives? Are we sometimes like someone looking for loopholes to escape doing what should be done, or to continue doing what shouldn't be done? And of course, all of us do this. How can I find a way out of judging myself? How do I find a way to avoid seeking to measure myself against the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ in his church? All of us do this. Lay people, religious, priests, bishops. We have an example of that in the Synod on the Family, where some bishops are turning over backwards to find a way to avoid doing what the church commands them to do. And they will be judged for that. There's a deeper aspect to today's encounter. In the gospel, Jesus says, give to Caesar what is owed to Caesar. The coin used to pay the poll tax bore Caesar's image and name. In saying that we should give to God what belongs to God, Jesus reminds us of the one whose image we bear. God created us in the image of himself. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he reminds us of the one to whom we owe everything. Don't seek to do the minimum, because God, who has given us all, requires of us all. It's interesting when St. Thomas Aquinas writes about religion, he discusses it as an aspect of justice. And that's very interesting. You might have expected that justice would come under the heading of religion, so that a religious man or woman will be just. But Aquinas puts it the other way around. A truly just person will be religious. Why is this? The answer is very simple. We owe God, all of us. Even Cyrus, in the first reading, owes everything he is and everything he has to God and to God alone. That's the bottom line. Everything that we possess, everything we are, and the very gift of life has been given to us by the God who made us in his own image. And so we owe God our thanks, our praise, and our devotion. That's the bottom line. It's a matter of justice. If you don't worship God in his church at Mass on Sunday, you are being unjust. You are cheating God, who gives you everything you have and everything you are. If you try to find a way out of following the teachings of the church in any aspect of your life, you are cheating God, who gives you gifts to be used in accordance with his will. And if we do that, we sever ourselves from God's grace, and we are false to ourselves. We bear his image and likeness, and if we betray that image, we are betraying not only God, but ourselves. As we look around the world, we observe, if we look in the mirror, we observe that we often live as if we don't owe anything to anyone, as if we were self-made men and women. But in today's gospel, out of a snippet of historical political crossfire, comes the reminder of just how much we owe and to whom we owe it. Caesar was owed that which bears his name and his image, a coin. God is owed that which bears his name and his image, our very selves. And anything less than that is less than justice. We are made to love and to serve God, whose images we bear, and if we fail to do that, we are untrue to our nature. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.